Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Advance your window on the world. We'll continue talking about solar power today, and our panelists are
Howie,
Bill,
and Winnie,
and Doris, so stay tuned. Solar power on the rise. Hey, thanks for coming along today, Bill. It's always nice to have you in the class.
Thanks for inviting me in here, Doris. I'm glad to join you for the second day of this article.
You know, this article about solar power, I think we can have a lot of different viewpoints on it. And yesterday we did talk about how it's rising to meet energy needs, didn't we, Winnie?
Yes, we did. We said how we are using too much fossil fuels. That's damaging to the environment. And so now this company, Johnson Controls, is putting together a new kit that should make it easier for everyone to use solar power.
And you'll find this article in your Advanced magazine with lots of good photos and descriptions on page 36, 37, and 38. So today we're going to do pages 37 and 38. Isn't that right, Howie?
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it because I love talking about environmental articles and news.
I think that's because you studied that when you were in university, right?
That's right. And even though that was not too... That was pretty long ago, actually. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it is a long
on.
Ago.
It wasn't that long.
But still, I still like to follow up on the news. And it's actually very important for us because we tend to be wasteful sometimes. And we need to know what's out there. We need to know about these renewable alternative forms of energy.
Now, what company are we talking about that's working on this right now?
We're talking about Johnson Controls Incorporated, and it's one of the largest companies in Wisconsin.
It's in Wisconsin, in the United States. Mm-hmm. So let's ask a few questions so we can do this for review. It's one of the leading companies. And what are they doing now as a showcase, Howie?
Well, they are showcasing their new revamped headquarters, and it's where the state's largest solar power project has been taking shape over the past year.
Okay, and Bill, do you know how they're going to get all of this energy from inside the Earth? What are they doing?
Well, what they're doing is they have developed this solar field where it's a geothermal energy field, and then they're also going to tap into wells underneath the ground. They're going to be heating water, and they're going to be using this as a heating and cooling mechanism for their headquarters.
Now, this is one thing to say that, but, you know, I wonder how they're doing that. Can you tell us a little bit more about, are they digging down there and getting at that heat? How are they doing that?
Well, there are, if you study science, there are vast amounts of heat stored under the surface of the Earth.
But I thought we were talking about the sun. How can we do the sun in the middle of the Earth? Are we doing them both?
That's actually, they are, because they're trying to tap into green power, and green power means it's very friendly to the environment. So not only are they trying to harness or they're trying to tap into the power of the sun, but they also want to also find what's buried underneath the ground and make it useful. And there's a lot of heat in the ground.
How are you got the green power, where you're talking about, I think of grass and everything. And the others, I guess you could call it black power if you're talking about coal and oil. But the ground is kind of brown power, right? You can call anything power, right?
Hey, Doris, you know, about 6 months ago, we did an article about the underground volcanic water that was heated, that being tapped out in your state of Washington and also Utah and Colorado and Wyoming.
Right.
So this is interesting that now we're looking at a little bit different source.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
They do have this water. But I think even with water, we have to be careful. It's another resource. The sun, I don't think we can tap into the sun and really hurt it. But if we tap into things in the ground, like the underground water, I just wondered if it would affect, you know, the trees and the plants and things that need all that water in any way. I wonder if we drain any of it that they might need. That's just my question.
Well, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and there are concerns because when we think about groundwater, oh no, we're going to affect the trees and the plants and the animals. But this water, this heat is stored very, very deep into the earth. I think many hundreds of feet below the surface of the earth. So it shouldn't affect the surface water or the near surface water. But you never know. We have to be careful.
Well, now, Howie, when we get the oil and coal and everything, we know we dig way down. We have mines and we have great big machines that dig right down till they get the oil. So they have to go really, really down and digging down. So when they dig down to get this geothermal energy.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do? I mean, how can they hit that energy and get it out from down there? How do they do that?
They have large drills, which they would burrow or drill into the earth. And usually with geothermal energy, there's either very, very hot water or steam. And mm-hmm. they would capture that by spinning turbines or these kind of like engines, and then it would produce electricity. But here, it's not doing that. Here, they're going to use that very hot water or steam to heat their campus, and that will lower their winter heating costs by 29%, as we learned yesterday.
And just for our listeners, Doris, Johnson Controls not only is a large company there in Wisconsin, but it's actually a worldwide leader when it comes to heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems for buildings and businesses around the world. So they are a global company, and this fits right in with their business.
Right. If you have to look at their website, you'll see that they do have a lot of things that they do. It's just interesting how you're going to tap this water and get it out and heat your buildings from. Is the water going to come squirting up like the oil does? You know?
Actually, it does. They have to be very careful. And it's boiling hot. It's steaming hot, as they would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they have to get that water up and use that. And so some places you'll find oil and some places you'll find water. But we're digging deep for that. So it's not only the sun. We're digging down and looking up at the sun both. Isn't that right?
That's right. I think they're also experimenting with many other alternative energies, such as maybe wind power or using gases from animal waste. So I think a lot of this is experimental. They're trying to figure out new ways constantly to provide better ways of powering.
Okay. Well, let's look at our lesson that we're going to do today that starts over on page 37. And let's read the first section.
As part of a renewable energy business launched in 2007, Johnson Controls is attempting to convince its customers across the country to incorporate solar or other types of renewable power when they're retrofitting an office building or constructing a new factory. With the price of fossil fuels bringing up the price of coal and natural gas, the payback times are shortening for renewable energy projects, experts say. Almanger views renewable energy as a complement to the company's core business of building efficiency technology that helps reduce energy use. Though retrofits of lighting and control systems and sensors can eliminate much energy use, they can't eliminate everything. And solar power could be used to reduce reliance on fossil fuels. Every energy efficiency project that we're involved with should have a solar component to it, he said.
Okay, well, this is part of a renewable energy business, and it was only launched in 2007, so it's fairly new, but it's a pretty big business, isn't it, Bill?
Well, it is, and it's growing for many companies in addition to Johnson Controls, as companies are looking not only as places to save energy, but this is going to be also a revenue area for them, a profit stream.
And what are they actually trying to do then, it says, what this company is trying to do?
It's attempting to convince its customers across the country to incorporate or to include solar or other types of renewable power when they're retrofitting, and this is the word I was talking about yesterday, retrofitting an office building or constructing a new factory.
Okay, is that a very common word to use, that retrofitting or not?
Well, usually you would retrofit maybe a vehicle, like a car or a ship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an idea of replacing something old and adding something new to it, like a new part or a new outfit in a way.
And I like this word incorporate, Doris. It can be used in many cases. Normally we see the word corporate to describe a company, but this is completely different. It's a verb that means to involve or to put something into another thing, to get it integrated into it.
Okay, so they want to make that a part of it, have it be one part of it. Put the solar part when you're trying to renew. And we often use the word renovate, like if you have an old apartment building and you want to renovate it. Now, is that the same as retrofitting, to renovate? What's the difference in retrofitting and renovating?
When we say renovate, and there was a word that we learned yesterday, revamp.
Mm-hmm.
Renovate to kind of give your house to redecorate, to
look.
Rechange, to reorganize. Exactly, a new look. Retrofit means that let's use a car as an example. Let's say you have an older car, but you're putting in new parts into this car, maybe a new kind of engine or a new kind of, exhaust system for your car. But the technology wasn't available when the first car first came out. Maybe it's an old 70s car that you're trying to retrofit, but then you're adding in a new 90s or a 2000s kind of exhaust system or engine. Then you're retrofitting because you're taking old technology and you're adding new things in there.
But sometimes, you know, when people do this to apartment buildings, they take out the old cabinets and put new things in and new kinds of refrigerators and appliances and stuff. In a sense, it reminds me a little bit of that.
Well, I would think of retrofitting maybe if you were replacing like plumbing equipment or electrical equipment.
Okay.
If you're replacing equipment, renovating would be more along with the design work
the
that you're doing and changing.
Like
Okay. I'd like to also talk about the word retrofit. If you look at the word retrofit, retro means usually something in the past, something that's older. And to fit, of course, means to put something in. So when you're retrofitting, you're taking something that's older and you're putting something newer in there.
I actually will sometimes – Winnie will say sometimes, oh, that's so retro. It's kind of a hip term these days.
Yes, when Bill's wearing his flared jeans or
hipster jeans. Bell-bottom jeans.
Bell-bottom
ones. That's kind of retro. You're right about that. Okay. But let's say – those are good words to know, though, and you'll probably hear them. Some of the old buildings that we try to redo, we do have to do some retrofitting. We have to maybe just start and get rid of the whole new systems of heating and so forth. So when you do that, they're trying to get you to think about putting in solar as a part of it. They don't say go completely solar, but incorporate it or put part of it in. And that's a good thing to do. So now because fossil fuels, which are, you know, gas and oil and things like that, the price is higher. This is the payback times are shortening, meaning that we'd usually say, well, it would take you a long time to get your money back on these. But nowadays, they're not that much different than the other fuel prices because they're so high too. So that really, when you look at it, you can actually compare these prices. Isn't that right?
Well, that second paragraph there, Doris, in this reading explains why people would do this. A business might call this ROI or return on investment. This is why you retrofit, because you're going to spend money to put the new system in, but over the long run, you're actually going to save money.
Mm-hmm. Charge more rent.
Well, you can do that too.
Yeah. Okay, so they call this renewable energy. It's something that will work together with you, incorporate this, so it complements here. This is complement with an E, means it means that will be a part of your core business efficiency. Isn't that right?
Yes, when something complements well, it means it makes something better or more effective. So sometimes we even use that with people. We say, oh, you complement each other very well, meaning that you make a good team or you're more effective when you work together.
But that's different than giving a compliment when it's spelled with an I.
That's
compliment.
Right.
That means kwajang, to say something nice about people. But this E means to be a part of something. So it's a little bit different, sounds the same. So those two words can get mixed up quite easily. But it says here that the retrofits of lighting and control systems through this, these sensors can eliminate much energy, but they can't eliminate everything. So you can't really go completely to solar power now, can you, Winnie?
No. They say that solar power could be used to reduce the reliance or dependency on fossil fuels. So I think in the past, it's easy to just use only fossil fuels, but they're saying, well, you can't use all of them. And so now you should try using solar so that you don't always have to depend on that.
There are two reasons for that, Doris. One, solar power doesn't generate the amounts of energy that are needed in completely. And the other thing is solar power sometimes is unpredictable because of the weather.
That's true, unless you go down to do the geothermal energy inside the earth and you don't have to worry about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are all things that we're going to find that solar power is on the rise. It's rising right now. So let's finish reading today's lesson.
Solar power on the rise. Across the world, solar is on the verge of big growth. A forecast issued in 2008 by Clean Edge, a clean technology consulting firm, found solar power will grow from a $20 billion industry worldwide in 2007 to $74 billion within 10 years. The new headquarters will highlight both renewable energy and energy efficiency. Together, the changes are projected to save Johnson Controls 75% on its operating costs from the new headquarters, even as the amount of office space on the 33-acre campus nearly doubles. In one building, daylight streams through skylights. A wall of windows has replaced an old design that contained little glass. The offices feature a system that automatically adjusts lighting levels as the amount of daylight pouring in fluctuates. It also brightens lighting at a workstation when it senses that an employee has entered a work area.
So, not only in the United States, but across the world, solar is on the verge of, means that it's very, very soon it's going to happen. To be on the verge of is a very good phrase.
That's right. On the verge means very near or very close to the border of becoming very big or having big growth.
Now, the forecast was in 2008 by this Clean Edge, which is a clean technology consulting firm called Clean Edge. What did they find by their survey?
They found that solar power will grow from a $20 billion industry worldwide in 2007 to $74 billion within just 10 years.
So it's good to follow that along now. We're into 2009 now. It'd be nice to follow it along. But it's growing gradually. And they're having new headquarters that they're building, and they're going to be built with renewable energy and energy efficiency. Those are two good phrases to know. Renewable energy, energy efficiency.
Right, because when energy is renewable, it can be reused again, such as sunlight or wind or water. And if energy is efficient, that means you won't have to use so much electricity or power to, I guess, power your lights or your heating or your air conditioning.
Well, that Johnson is a very big new company, but what do they do? How do they do that?
Well, what they're doing is they put together changes they're projected to save them 75% on its operating costs at its new headquarters.
That's a lot, 75%,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And what I like from these pictures, Doris, is that their headquarters is becoming a model for their customers, so they can bring customers in and say, look at this and how this works, so customers can actually see it in work, in practice.
That's good to point that out, Bill. And yesterday we used that word showcase. So it's becoming a model. It's becoming a showcase for its customers to come in and look at it.
If you happen to be going there in Wisconsin near where this place is, you might say, hey, I think I'll go and check that out and take a look at it. So it's one thing it would be nice for tourists to go through and see, wouldn't it?
Well, and the other thing I noticed, not only is this energy efficient, but they have got some great designers, some like interior designers and also product designers, because not only does it have to be energy efficient, it has to be attractive. You can't make
that's
something true. That looks ugly.
Mm. Yeah. That's right. They have a whole wall of windows that replace the old design. So if you go on their website, you'll see the way they have batteries for solar systems with natural energy and how they can do different things with their batteries. They have the right battery for every vehicle. Look at their website. You'll find all kinds of interesting things on there if you look at johnsoncontrols.com.
Right, and I like this too, what it says in line four, Doris, that 75%, they've saved 75% on its operating costs, because this is a great example to point to people as an example, say, look what you can save in your business.
Right. Well, I like the part in the last paragraph where it says the office features a system that automatically adjusts lighting levels as the amounts of daylight pour in. It changes. Fluctuates just means change up and down. The temperature certainly fluctuates. All of a sudden it's hot and then it's cold. So fluctuate means to do a lot of changes.
So what this might mean is maybe if it's during lunchtime at noon where there's a lot of sunshine, then the lighting levels in the building will be very low because they're using energy from the sun. But
so
it would change.
You don't have to have that on your lamps where you have high, medium, and low.
Right.
They'll adjust automatically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. These sensors, as we would call them, they would automatically detect when maybe the sun is really bright or if it's a cloudy day. So it'll make the adjustments naturally. Or if it's at night, then maybe its brightness setting will be at its highest.
Well, you know, we often tell people now when you go out to lunch, turn your lights off in the office. You don't have to do that if you work there. Why not?
Because it will automatically sense. And I think some of us have that now where maybe if we walk into a room, the lights would automatically come on because there's a sensor there that would detect motion. So it would turn on the lights.
Many people have that now or not?
Some offices have that where if you walk into an area, it's normally dark, but then it would automatically turn on when it senses motion. Some places have that, but this is different.
Not very many.
This automatically adjusts lighting levels. Mm-hmm. So it's two different things.
I've seen similar systems to this door, for instance, in some locations here. Escalators
yes.
will stop working
mm-hmm.
when
That's
nobody's
true.
Using them. And then all of a sudden when you get near, they
start
running.
It looks like it's not working. You know, right. Push your foot on there and it goes. And that's
yeah.
the little sensors, S-E-N-S-O-R-S. Sensors can tell you if people are coming or nearby. And they're very important in this whole plan, aren't they?
Yes, and with these sensors, it can automatically adjust the lighting level.
Mm-hmm. So I think this article has got a lot. We could talk about it for several days. We just had 2 days on it. But I think we also have a skit on this, don't we? So let's hear our skit.
Good afternoon, ma'am. My name's Bobby Cancel. If you have a moment, I'd like to discuss renewable energy with you.
Renewable energy? Oh, you work for the power company. Look, son, I paid my electric bill last week, so...
Oh, no, ma'am. I don't work for the power company. I'm here to help you break free from the chains of fossil fuels and your power company.
And how exactly are you going to help me do that?
With one of these brand new solar kits. Take a look at this one, the Sunshine 5000. Isn't it beautiful?
Well, it looks like a big box to me. So this thing can save me money?
It sure can. Within a few weeks after installing this kit on your roof, you'll see your electric meter spinning in reverse.
I like the sound of that. So after I install the Sunshine 5000, I won't need to pay the power company anymore, right?
Not exactly. But you'll be able to add some solar energy to your home's energy mix. That will cut down on your bill for sure.
Okay, but what about cloudy days? According to the weather forecast, the sun won't shine around here for another week.
Don't worry. As the amount of daylight fluctuates, the Sunshine 5000 can adapt its output and tell your system to use more traditional power.
I see. Have any of my neighbors bought one of your kits yet?
Not yet, but you could become the first person in your neighborhood to showcase the Sunshine 5000. What do you say?
Sorry, Mr. Cancel, but I'll wait and see if any of my neighbors buy one first.
Well, sometimes it's hard to sell people on new ideas, isn't it?
Well, it takes an investment. A lot of these energy-saving devices and ideas do have a significant upfront cost, Doris, but over the long run, they actually end up saving people money.
We talked about the payback time yesterday, didn't we?
That's right, and because in the past that it would take a long time for you to get your money back, but according to Johnson Controls, the times are shortening now.
And also, it seems like the costs are actually lower for the upstart costs. And so that means it's a great way for people to try it if they've been curious about it for a while in a much easier way.
Well, we hope so, because renewable energy and energy efficiency are things that we hear a lot about on TV and the radio and newspapers. And it's part of our lives because we want to use our resources well. So follow these things in the news when you see them. Read up about them. Remember you heard about them when you were listening to Advanced. And remember, Advanced can be part of your life. Check our websites.
Right. Make our website part of your life. Go to www.studioclassroom.com, and you can actually listen to this program, our daily program, on our website, and also see our videos, our topic talks, where we do give insight and summaries for each article.
And now we'd like to have, you know, just a very quick summary of this. I'm going to ask Howie, who really likes to study these environmental subjects, to give us a really kind of a quick look at what we just talked about.
The last couple of days, we've been talking about how solar power or alternative energies have been a mystery. But then Johnson Controls wants to shed new light by introducing these kits, these solar kits, so that people, schools, or homes, they can introduce solar energy into their energy mix. And they also, it also talks about how their headquarters is a showcase for this new technology. And the headquarters actually also uses many types of renewable energy, geothermal energy, and of course solar energy to showcase how to use it so that the public become more and more interested in this.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see that building if I was never near this one. It says 33-acre campus is pretty big, and the office space just doubles, and they only use 75% of the regular energy. Looks like a good showcase to me, doesn't it, to you?
Yeah, I would love to visit.
Right. So follow through on these things, check out websites, and think of ways that you can save so your bill won't be so high this summer.
Right. We can do things on our individual basis, just buy more efficient light bulbs or turn off the air conditioner when we're not in the room, things like that, Doris.
Bill, let's write to Johnson and ask if they got solar panels that you can use in your apartment right now.
Right after this program.
Okay. All right. And thanks for being with us, everyone. It's been nice to have you. And stay tuned always to your studio classroom and advanced articles, because they'll bring you up to date and what's coming ahead in the future and make you ready to have a better life. So thanks for being with us today. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.